been a privilege for me to be with Chad Harlan this week. I've known Chad since he was 19. He was in our congregation. His good wife, Tracy, I've known her since she was 9 years old. Now, I met them, 45 years ago, wasn't it, Tracy? No, okay. Chad's family's here with him, Katie and what's the other little girl's name there? Ben and what's your name? Hannah, yeah, that's right. You didn't know your name, Hannah? Yeah, okay. All righty. It's so good to know them. And they bring back so many memories to me. Tracy's mother and father were tremendous, tremendous friends to me and Ruth. Matter of fact, we felt like we were part of their family. Ruth sang with Tracy's mother and father and her aunt, and we would go to their house. They would practice, and I would eat. And we enjoyed that. Then Chad came along a little bit later on, and he liked Tracy, and I don't know if David hired him for that or not, but they married, and I performed their wedding, and what a joy it was to watch them as they moved forward and matured for Christ. And now he's a worship pastor in St. Joe, Michigan. I don't know why anybody wants to move to Michigan, but that's where he's at. And so those memories come to me, and as I was sitting here this morning, I began to think about things I remember. And I'd like to just kind of change gears with you a little bit. If you turn to Isaiah, the 49th chapter, we'll read the 13th through 16th verses. Some of the things I'll tell you, you've probably heard numerous times. But just bear with me as we walk through this, because I really have a sense that this may be needed this morning. Because, you see, memories are of great value to us. Memories are great value. I've been telling you about memories. The first time Chad and Tracy, we were doing our best to get them together. You know how I really don't try matchmaking, but we were doing our best to get them together. And we had a young adult volleyball activity. If you don't know what volleyball is, it's volleyball on a racquetball court. And a very fast game and everything. And we were dividing sides up. And all of a sudden I realized I'd put Tracy on one side and Chad on the other. And I thought, well, that's not going to work. And so I said, Chad, you go over there on that side, you see. So it's all because of me that they married. These children would not be alive if it wasn't for me. And I don't know if Chad and Tracy are angry about that or not. But I remember some of those things. When we drove to, I was a auto workers. I worked for General Motors. I made shocks. That was how I made a living. You folks have not seen shocks. We made 18,000 shocks in one shift. And we had three lines when everything was going full that ran three shifts. Sometimes 7 days a week. And man, I've handled more shocks than most of you folks would ever even think about. And I'll never forget, we had come back to Dayton, Ohio from a Bible college. And I felt like after just a short period of time, I didn't feel like I could stay. I had to be in full-time ministry. I just had to be in full-time ministry. I couldn't do anything else. General Motors had taken me back. I was working there. I was making good money, good benefits, all those kinds of things. And Ruth and I had talked and prayed, and we had agreed that, you know, God was wanting us in full-time ministry. Well, there was a little congregation in Pekin, Illinois of, I don't know, about 50, 60 people, maybe 45, 50 people, somewhere in that ballpark. And they had a little building on the corner of South 3rd and McLean Street. It was just a city lot. And they called us up, and they told me what the salary was. And I told Ruth, I said, there's no way we can afford that. We can't live like that. We had three kids, had to feed them. Every one of us wore glasses, the whole family. and, you know, you have to buy tires for cars and all that. And they were offering me $150 a week. Now, that was, of course, that's 1980, so it goes a little bit further than with today. And I said, let's not waste their time or money. And Ruth said, Gerald, we'd heard about him from a friend of ours. And she said, oh, I just feel like I know him. We just got to go see him. And I thought, oh, gee, you know, this is a wasted weekend. And long story short, we felt like God called us there. And we stayed there 21 years. And the memories there are wonderful. And then I remember coming here. Folks, again, you've heard me tell this, but I believe I just you need to hear it again. I was in bed on a Saturday morning. Brother Sovine forgot that Illinois was an hour behind. So if it's 7 o'clock here, it's 6 o'clock there, you know. He called me up 8 o'clock his time, 7 o'clock my time on Saturday morning. Now, back then at 7 o'clock, I was still in bed. And I picked up the phone, and you know how you do, you know. Oh, hello. Yeah. And this is how it came out. Rudd Sovine here. I said, hey, Brother Sovine, how you doing? Okay. Do you want to come to Greenville in Tennessee to pastor? No? Okay. Bye. Yeah. And you know how I've told the story, how after a little while, Ruth and I were talking. I said, I don't know if I closed that off too soon. And that was in March, and in May, Pastor's Fellowship was taking place, and it's in Kentucky, and I knew some of the people would be there, and that I knew that Brother, Sister Sovine, etc. I said, if anybody says anything to us at Pastor's Fellowship, we'll tell them, we'll talk to them. And Sister Sovine came up to us very first thing, and she said, we so wanted you to be our pastor. And I said, well, Sister Sovine, I said, you tell them if they're still looking that we'll talk to them. That's all. Just talk. And it was a good 2 weeks before we heard anything. And so we kind of thought it was all over with and no problem. And we liked Peak and we loved the people. And, man, we didn't really want to go anywhere. And so we... And by the way, we flew down. Very first time we flew in the Tri-Cities. I have motion sickness issues. I puked on the plane landing. Yeah. Steve and Charlotte Wilson met us at the airport, and I was probably about 3 shades whiter than I am now. I can remember walking off the plane handing the woman the bag, you know. Yeah, she was real happy with that, I could tell. And we met Charlotte and Steve and then the pulpit committee, and I don't remember everybody that was on it, but Joe, you were on it. No, you weren't. Well, you should have been. Eric, were you on it? Eric, Mickey was on it. Let's see. Steve Wilson was on it, and Gary Collins, you were on it. Gary, yeah, you weren't, right? No? Well, whichever group you were, whoever they were there. And I remember the discussion, and I said, I don't want to go anywhere and just waste my time. I was 49 years old, and I knew that, you know, you only have so much time in life. And I just didn't want to go and waste my time. And so I wasn't interested in going anywhere that they didn't want to do anything. And lo and behold, I found out you did. And here we are. But do you remember some of the first things? The building issues? I thought you guys had all your building plans in place. I honestly did. I thought it was all decided. And when I walked in the first building committee meeting and realized that there wasn't decided, we began that process. And 3 years later, well, almost 3 years later, we moved into this building. Do you guys remember that you wrote your names on the floor? Some of you that were here before they put the carpet down. And you wrote the scripture verses down. You stand, folks, when you walk across this room, you stand on the Word of God. Literally. Do you realize that? Do you remember that? Do you remember the process that we went through? Folks, you may not know this, but when we finished, I didn't know if I was going to be able to stay here. Because we were, I think it was about $300,000 or $400,000 over, or maybe more, I think. I thought, well, that's it. You don't go $500,000 over budget and have everybody happy, you know. And we gave all the information to you in that meeting, and lo and behold, it was almost like you went, yeah, okay, what's next? I thought, wow, I'm going to get to stay. You know, I remember that. Listen to Isaiah 49, starting verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You need to remember some things. Do you remember when you were saved? Yeah, well, let's step back just a piece. Do you remember what life was like without Christ? Do you remember? I mean, some of you have been saved for years. Some of you probably got saved when you were kids. Do you remember what life was like without Christ? I do. Man, one of my buddies, his name was Joe. And Joe, his dad was an alcoholic. I remember going into the bar. Back then they let a 12-year-old into a bar. And you could walk in the bar and there was his dad and sitting on the bar stool drunk. And I remember Joe stealing money from his dad so we'd have money to go do things. I remember some things that I would never tell anybody. I would never tell anybody. I would be so devastated if you knew some of the things that took place in my life. Oh, my. There was very little that me and the guys I ran around with would not do. I remember giving my mother the difficulties that I gave her. And at 17, I told her, I said, I'm going in the Army, and she was afraid not to sign for me. And so she went down, she signed the paperwork, and I got to go in the Army at 17. Those of you that camp meeting, you heard Brother Mansfield talk how he finished high school when he was 16. I did too. I finished it when I was 16. I finished it when I was 17. But he graduated. I didn't. I just finished it. I was just done, you know. And I remember that life. I remember that life. I remember coming back from Vietnam and starting to date Ruth. And I remember the thought that, you know, here's somebody that's nice. The people I knew that I had ran around with really weren't that nice. And I enjoyed being with her. And when we went somewhere, we weren't out trying to figure out if we could get in a fight that night. Now, you guys may not have lived like that, but man, I remember what it was like to be lost. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't lay around at night worried about whether I was going to die and go to hell. I just didn't care. I don't know if you get what that means in your mind. You see, I got to where I didn't care about anybody except for Ruth and my kids, my mother, somewhat my stepdad, and my sisters. And after that, the rest of you, could do anything you wanted, but just leave me alone. I remember that. I also remember telling Ruth that I'll go to church with you. I'll go to church with you. I couldn't care less. I'd go, but I'm like some that sit here, possibly even today, that sit in the pew and you do not even care whether you're here. You're thinking about what you're going to do next. You're thinking about where you're going to go, what you're going to have for dinner. All of those other things, you think about anything and everything to keep your mind off of what's happening here. And I did that my whole life and I couldn't have cared less. And one night, in that church on Ashcraft Road, where old Brother Collins was preaching, Christian family had been singing. I remember suddenly getting it, suddenly figuring it out in my mind. And I'm not going to tell you I went through a long thing, but it just like somebody turned a switch on, you know? And I got it. I was lost. And I needed a Savior. Now, it wasn't exactly, it didn't come out exactly like that. That evening, and by the way, I'd gone back that Sunday night, and I'd never went on Sunday night. That evening, I stood there, and suddenly, I believe I heard God's voice that said to me, and this may not be theologically what you think ought to be said, I don't know. But it came out to me that I needed a Savior. But he said, son, I've done all this for you. Now what have you done for me? I don't know what the preacher preached. I don't know what they sang. I don't know anything else. But I do know that I made my way to an altar of prayer and asked Christ to forgive me. I remember that. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember the time that you were awakened to the need of God? To the need of... And again, you might come from all kinds of backgrounds. You know, we have people that sit here that were Catholics. We have people that sit here were good American heathen. You know, we have everything. Baptists, Pentecostals, everything. Do you remember? You see, God doesn't care where you came from, friend. He just cares that you came to Him. Do you remember that? Coming to Him? I remember the night Ruth and I'd been reading about sanctification, and my pastor, a marvelous pastor, but I always thought that sanctification was me dedicating myself to God. And by the way, that's part of it. That's all I knew about sanctification. You need to dedicate yourself to God. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Dedicate yourself to God. And I had been doing some reading, and I began to see a truth where I began to realize that sanctification was actually also the Spirit of God, not only your dedication, but the Spirit of God moving inside of your soul and your heart and shaping your very heart, your life, your spirit, your nature. Be like His. And I remember the night in 1975. It was about December 28th, 29th, somewhere through there. We were in New York visiting Ruth's brother. And I had been reading a book, and I knelt down beside the bed that night. And I asked God to fill me with His Spirit. And brothers and sisters, by faith, I believed it happened. And God sanctified me. That moment, I'm not saying there wasn't growth after that, and I'm not saying there's still not growth, but I'm saying that at that moment, God opened me up, and the Spirit of God came in to shape me so that my spirit, my nature, would begin to look like His. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? In your life? Some of you may be dealing with issues that you deal with because the Spirit of God has not filled you. you're like a half-filled jar sloshing around everywhere. A barrel that's just partially full and just bouncing all over and unable to be controlled and everything. Do you remember that? I remember the night that, actually it was a process, and the night that I finally said yes to God about preaching the gospel. And again, I tell you, and you've heard me say this before, I didn't know it meant I'd be a pastor. Why, in my congregation, all we ever did, people would get up and say, God's called me to preach. And Brother Collins would come, and this is what he did to me. He'd come and he wrapped his arm around my shoulder and said, have a sermon for Wednesday night. Now, that was Sunday night, so he said, have a sermon Wednesday night. And I did. And not long ago, well, I don't know, a couple, 3 years ago, a lady that was there that night had written the sermon title down. I knew the scripture verse out of 1 Peter where he says, casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. She had written it all down and dated it. I never knew the date. I just didn't care what the date was, you know. But I remember the night when I fell on my knees and said, yes, God, yes. I remember the calling of God on my life. By the way, he calls every man and every woman to something. To something. He did not save you and sanctify you so you could enjoy church. He saved you and sanctified you so that you could fulfill ministry. It may not be standing behind a pulpit. It may not be leading the youth. It may not be leading the worship. But brothers and sisters, it's still ministry. And God doesn't see that your ministry is less important. Do you know that you've been called? Do you remember? Do you remember that? Are you just sitting here? I remember problems and struggles and brothers and sisters, let me tell you, problems and struggles and have not been something unusual in my life. Things happen, man. Gee, problems with people. I know none of you ever have a problem with anybody. I've had a few problems with people. I remember going to we were going to build the church building down in Pekin, Illinois. We built a brand new sanctuary and 4 acres of land at that time. And I remember going to the city where you had to go through all the hoops, you know. And they had the council meeting and the public is invited in. And I remember people... one individual calling me what was that phrase? Parasite, yeah. I thought, well, I could catch him before he got down the steps and just whip him. But then I thought, wouldn't it look bad in the paper if the newspaper said, Pastor Ed gets whipped by old man? I thought, and then I thought, yeah. Surely God wouldn't be pleased with me just slapping him around, you know. I've had problems, man. By the way, sometimes you see part of the problem and you may not know all the pieces of what happens. And you may think nothing's being done when things are being done as they should be done in private. Instead of making it a public fight. Do you understand that? And so some of you sit back and say, he's never going to do anything about it. Well, maybe I just didn't do what you wanted me to do. But man, problems with my kids? Gee whiz. My wife and I, you know that our oldest son's not a believer. And he came in and said, told Ruth, he said his girlfriend was expecting a baby and they never did get married. And I'll never forget sitting in my office because I had to deal with a woman who had divorced her husband and was still wanting to sing in the choir. And she divorced him for no reason other than that she just didn't like him. Maybe she had reason not to like him, but that's not biblical reason, you know. And so I told her she needed to sit down in the choir, and she threw that back at me. Well, your son, I said, wait a minute. I said, he's, at that time, I think he was about 26 or 7. I said, he's a grown man. I didn't do anything. Folks, a friend of mine told me one time, said he was selling furnaces and went to the house and he told the guy where he went to church. He said, oh, you go where Rudd does? He said, yeah. He said, man, I called him up about his daughter paying rent one time and you know he cussed me out. He said, what do you mean? He began to talk to him. He found out that at the time he said I did that, my daughter was 15. I don't know who he's talking about, but it wasn't me. But I don't know how many hundreds of people he told that to. Ruth and I have had a few struggles, personal struggles with each other. We try to hide them from everybody. Of course, none of you ever have problems with anybody that you're trying to hide, are you? We've had a few things take place. Usually we're pretty calm and everything, but every now and then. It's always been Ruth's fault. And I've never figured out how to get her straightened out on these things, but I've had problems. Man, I remember those problems. I also remember the promises. The promises of God. Did you get this area of scripture that we read? God says, I will not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. You know, I can't tell you all the scriptures for everything that happens in life. I can give you Psalm 23 when death comes. And, you know, I talk about Psalm 103, 1 through 5, about the healing powers of Jesus and God's desire to heal. And I can point to you in Matthew where he says, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. But brothers and sisters, there's one thing I found in life that's always harder to live it than it is to quote it. But I've remembered the promises. I've remembered the promises of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. I remember the promises of the presence of Christ, no matter what might happen and no matter where we might go. I've remembered the promises of God that He will lead me and guide me. I remember the promises of God that He will never forsake me. I remember the promise that He will not forget me. He will not forget me. I go to a lot of places and I see people that I see them here and maybe, we're going to Missouri, preach a camp meeting. And I'll see people there. I preached three revivals down in Thayer, Missouri. Does anybody know where Thayer, Missouri is? You can't find it. There's not a motel there. We stayed in the pastor's, I don't know if it was the parsonage or his personal house, but the bed was, we're used to a king-size bed. It was a full-size bed. Like to beat each other to death. Bang, bang, bang. I toss and turn, you know. Beat each other up. And you know, a lot of people only have one pillow. I sleep with two pillows. And so I wad the pillow up and try to get it behind my head. But then you can't roll over then because the pillow flops open, you know. And now we're going to go to this place in Missouri. And there's going to be people there that will say, hey, Pastor Rod, do you remember me? I saw you one time 15 years ago. You think I remember you? No, I don't remember you. Pastor Rudd, do you remember? No, I don't. But God has never forgotten me. He has never forgotten me. He has me engraved upon His hand. He looks down and He sees Gerald Rudd. Did you remember that? Did you remember that? When your problems and your struggles and your difficulties are going on, did you remember that God looks in His hand and sees your name? He sees you. My. Man, I have three great kids. I know I speak ill of them all the time. I enjoy doing that. Six wonderful grandkids. It's just marvelous. I cannot forget them. Wherever I go, I can't forget them. Brian Wright and I were talking about the baseball stuff and the kids. And I said, yeah, my boys play baseball and football. Folks, I only played sandlot stuff. You have to keep in mind, I was 17 years old in the Army. I weighed 137 pounds. I was 5'9". I was a stick. They could give me red pop and use me for a thermometer. I was so skinny, you know. And my boys, though, man, they played football. They could hit the ball. I played organized sports 1 year. Our coaches quit halfway through the season. Yeah, those boys could hit the ball and they could run. Man, the oldest boy, Bob, ran track and he set a state record with 400 or something. And he and the relay that they were in set the state record in Illinois there and for that age bracket and everything, junior high, you know. And man, I can't ever forget them. I still see them in my mind when they were little bitty kids. I remember the little red-headed boy running around the house tearing everything up. I remember Debbie with her long hair and wearing these glasses this big around. And I remember her, and I can see her in my mind as she lay in bed sick. And I lay with her and read the books, I don't know what they were, and read stories to her, and they said that she had scarlet fever. I thought, whoa, that's good. And they quarantined her to the room. I figured, well, I'd already been there, so why should I stay out? I see that little stringy-headed girl. And Bob was all long legs, and we have a picture of him running through the park. The day before, he came down with spinal meningitis and almost died. I remember those things. I can't forget them. Do you think God can forget you? His Son died so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have the hope of heaven. Jesus gave His life so that you could have your heart cleansed and become a child of God. He won't forget you. Did you remember that? Friend, I pray that you remember these things. And maybe you may need a refreshment of memory. Maybe you need just to fall on your knees and say thank you to God. Or maybe you need to say, God, I remember that. I remember that. And I want to be yours forever. And maybe some of you can't remember any of it. And you need to get your memories begun today. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come to you and thank you. I thank you that you remember us. And I thank you that you've given me and those of us here that have these great memories, all the joys of them, the memories of what it was like to be lost, the memories of salvation and sanctification, and the memories of calling, the memories of being yours. and the realization that you will not forget us, that you have our names engraved on the palm of your hand. I pray that people here would remember these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?